Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family plus pets in the car while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
And we are here to talk to you about a potentially fearful subject.
Yeah. You know, FDR famously said, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself." But did you know that, like, fear of a fear is a thing?
Is it? Is it a real thing, or just a thing that we made a phobia name for?
I think it's like a sanctioned phobia. It's phobiophobia.
Because that's the thing about phobias. You can create any of phobias that you want. There are these endless lists online of phobias.
Yeah.
But you get into a different discussion if you start taking them case by case and saying, is this actually a phobia? Does this linguistically work as a name for a phobia? It gets kind of muddy.
It does get muddy, and we're going to explore this sort of muddy terrain today. But first, I wanted to mention that according to R. Reed Wilson, PhD and spokesman for the American Psychological Association, over their lifetimes, 11% of people will have a phobia. Which seems a bit high to me, I gotta say. I was surprised by that.
Yeah, I've also read that that more than 19 million Americans have a phobia. And and what are we talking about when we're talking about a phobia?
Well, we were talking about this earlier. Mm-hmm. It's kind of one of those terms that gets thrown around in the lexicon. It's kind of a lazy usage of it. Because a lot of us will say, I have a phobia of, you know, cacti or whatever. And we don't really have a phobia. Like, we can get out of our house into our car and drive past a cactus, it will be perfectly fine. Most of us.
Yeah, I feel like there are a number of different so-called phobias. And this is not to say that people do not have a legitimate fear or a legitimate phobia of these things, but there are things that become kind of cool and hip. Like, oh, I have a clown phobia. And I know you claim that you have a real aversion to clowns, but I feel like sometimes that's just a hip thing to say. It's like, I'm afraid of clowns.
I would say it's like a mild fear. I will avoid clowns in a crowd.
Yes. But you don't leave your house every day fearful that you will run into a clown. You don't look for clowns under your bed.
Yes. And so that's where you really see the difference between a fear and a phobia, because a phobia can really just change your behavior. In fact, right. It can impair your behavior. So sure, you might be scared. You might have a fear of spiders.
That's a big one, because spiders are something worth being afraid of. I mean, there's only 0.1% of 35,000 different species of spider in the world are poisonous, but you have some outstanding creepers out there, like the black widow spider, the brown recluse. You grow up knowing about these. It's perfectly normal and right and healthy to be respectful and maybe a little afraid of the black widow spider. So it's one thing to sort of have that quick light go off in your head when you see a spider in a barn and say, like, all right, is there a black widow spider? No, okay, I'm probably okay. It's a whole different thing to be afraid to leave your house, to look under your bed, to look under your pillow for these spiders.
Yeah, right. One is sort of, as you say, respectful, sort of a survival instinct.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm not going to go up to that and handle that spider. That looks sort of terrible. And the other is, I will not leave my house tonight after dark, because then I will be prevented from seeing any spiders that may cross my path. That's where it becomes super irrational, and that's where we see phobias set in. And it is this kind of persistence of outsized fears morphing into phobias. And Michael Vasey, who is a professor of psychology at Ohio State University, and he and a team of researchers recruited 57 people who self-identified as having a spider phobia. And each participant then interacted at specific time points over something like 8 weeks with 5 different varieties of tarantulas, varying in size from about 1 inch to 6 inches long. Now, the reason why I bring up size is because this is really important. Later on, when they asked them to estimate how large these spiders were, it turns out that those with the more severe form of this phobia had a greater exaggeration of the size. So there you see this idea, the thing that you have a phobia about really sort of growing in size in your mind.
Yeah. Yeah, the fear gets bigger, that the object of the fear is larger. I keep thinking of somebody with just their living room, and how big is the spider in your living room? Is it when it gets to the point where it's so big that you're tripping over it, to where you can't live a normal life in your living room, then that's where you're seeing the phobia power take hold.
Yeah, the phobia really alters your perception of that thing or object or animal.
And it's great that you mentioned tarantulas, because where do tarantulas like to hide out?
Under my bed?
Well, in holes.
Yeah,
if you've ever
observed
a tarantula in the wild, which, you know, you should, unless you have some issues with the spiders. You know, they'll hang out in those little holes, those little layers.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, we need to talk about this fear of holes thing, because this is where it gets into like strange terrain, and we wanted to bring this up as an example of something that may or may not really be a phobia, and yet people have certain visceral reactions to it. And I'm talking about something as innocent looking as potpourri.
Yeah.
Okay. Because that potpourri, beware, it has these menacing seed pods, at least some of them, containing arrays of holes, these tiny portals into the abyss for some people who think, you know, they could just fall into it and never return. And I'm talking about trypophobia, fear of holes.
Yes, trypophobia. And if you're listening to this podcast on the website, I'll include some links on there, including a link to a gallery of some of these images that we're discussing here, because there is something about this whole subject of trypophobia and the fear of holes that, you know, you look at some of these images and you do, or at least in my case, I do feel a sort of visceral reaction to some of them. And we'll discuss as we go. But certainly that lotus seed head is one that was kind of shocking, because you do see it in potpourri everywhere. You see it showing up in living rooms. You see it showing up in you know, beautiful still life pictures, and it doesn't, it never before seemed to be a symbol of fear to me.
Now, here's the thing about this trypophobia, is that before widespread use of the internet, there wasn't much chatter about a fear of holes. But lo and behold, you have this whole community, and you have people who start banding together in their mutual hatred of holes and start sharing these pictures. And what you have is a Facebook page that's formed, an internet domain by the name of trypophobia.com, and scads of videos on the topic. In fact, we recently made a video looking at some of the footage of that. And all of a sudden you have psychologists taking notice, like, is this a real thing?
And indeed, there's a whole list of examples of supposed triggers for trypophobia. The lotus seed head that we mentioned, which is seems to often be at just the top of people's lists. And then also things like beehives, wasp nest, you know, situations where you have a whole bunch of holes clustered together and some of them are capped off maybe or containing something, especially if they're containing a squirming, you know, growing larva.
Mm-hmm.
I could see where that would definitely factor in. Sometimes you can even find these, of course, in food.
Like pancakes, like the batter specifically bubbling.
I never thought of that as grotesque. I mean, that's just pancakes.
But I know. It's just a temporary crater there before the whole thing firms up. But apparently people who say they suffer from trypophobia have phobia-like symptoms like nausea or the feeling like their skin is crawling or shuddering or there's even descriptions of feeling like they're going to fall headfirst into the hole.
Another example that comes up a lot is the Cernum toad, which is this this really interesting toad creature with this kind of perforated back with all these little holes in it that the young end up living in for a certain period of time.
Oh, nice.
So that's another example. Here we have a whole bunch of holes clustered in organic living tissue with other living things inside of it.
Yeah, and keep that example in mind for later when we talk about the whys of this.
Mm-hmm.
For right now, I wanted to mention that in 2012, psychologists Jeff Cole and Arnold Wilkins of the University of Essex in England, they combed over all these anecdotal pictures that would just make people weak in the knees in a bad way when looking at holes. And they settled on the most disturbing of these images, and it was, of course, the dreaded lotus seed head. And they showed 286 adults aged 18 to 55 the image, and 11% of men and 18% of women described the seed head as uncomfortable or even repulsive to look at, which they say those figures are about on par with the level of repulsion found in other actual phobias.
Hmm.
Now, that's one study,
yes,
we should say.
So what is it about this frog? I mean, because there's nothing... I mean, what's so fearful about the idea that this creature has some holes in its body that the young live in? And it's just like a kangaroo situation, and everybody loves the kangaroo, no matter how, you know, grotesque that might be in the finer details.
Yeah, but the kangaroo pouch isn't like a gaping hole, right? It's kind of tidy. It's not like you kind of...
I guess. I mean, I haven't really gotten in there close, but...
There is a kangaroo sanctuary very close to Atlanta, by the way.
Kangaroos do kind of unsettle me a bit. I'm certainly not saying I have a phobia of them or even a fear of them, but every time I go to the zoo, for the most part, they're not hopping around like proper kangaroos in proper storybooks. They're laying around, and they always kind of look like old men just, you know, out there on the ground doing kind of semi-sexy poses.
Oh, that is a little bit
disconcerting. I call it kangaroo danger.
Kangaroo danger.
Yeah.
For me, it's the boxing and then seeing them taking bets on the side.
That's
terrible. Those wallabies.
It is what they do with their money.
All right. So Colin Wilkins, they said, what's going on here? And they said, hey, we think that there might be something about the patterns, the spectral patterns found in some species of dangerous or poisonous animals. And they did some analyzing of these patterns and their dimensions. And lo and behold, some of them matched up to these other holes that people would see.
Okay.
Like in pancakes. Like, you know, maybe there was this poisonous plant with these sort of configurations on them that were meant to say, hey, I'm poisonous. And the mathematical structure of it actually lined up with some of the holes that they found that were disturbing people.
So the idea here is that we have an evolved tendency to notice these patterns. We're pattern-recognizing creatures. We see this, and on some level, we associate it with dangerous organisms.
Which seems a little bit like a long walk when you consider something like Swiss cheese.
Yes, which I've never found terrifying.
No. I mean, you know, it's kind of like, it's cheese. It's really evident that it's cheese. But then again, we are talking
cartoon
about...
cartoon cheese, and a mouse needs to run around inside of those holes. I mean, we all know this.
But we are talking about irrational fears and phobias here. So another take was posited by William Skaggs writing for Scientific American, and he said that maybe it could be a misattribution of germ and disease-ridden sores on the human body. In other words, you have crusty seed pods, which could remind us of like highly contagious weeping sores that we would want to steer clear of.
Now, this is the one that I think I like the most, the one that seems to sync with my brain when I'm looking at some of these images.
Mm-hmm.
Because the ones that disturb me more are the ones where someone has created like an artificial image that shows these kind of clusters on the human body. And it instantly makes me think, I don't think there is really a horror movie monster that really takes trypophobia by the horns and really goes nuts with it. But
yeah.
You do see a little of it here and there. For instance, Freddy Krueger comes to mind, who of course has the burn scarification.
Mm-hmm.
And there are parts of that basic design that have kind of this whole poxy tendency to it.
Well, and you would see the disgust thing that's elicited, you could see that, right? And
right.
I even brought in the seed pod for the video that I have, and it has gashes along the side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Those are its holes. And I do have to say, when I looked at it closely, I was like, that kind of reminds me of just like flesh wounds, like, you know, not necessarily like pus-filled holes or anything,
right.
But you can look at it for a long time and start to go, okay, maybe. Now, for me, though, the more satisfying explanation, at least right now, because we don't know whether or not this is a tried and true phobia, is that social media may prime us to assume the phobia for ourselves. And this is according to Jennifer Abbasi, writing for Popular Science. She says, quote, an element of so-called emotional contagion seems to be at work on Facebook, where some group members say they didn't realize they were trypophobic until they started reading others' comments and clicking on the pictures.
Yes, now that one I also strongly agree with, in part because I think it harkens back to what I've said earlier about fear of clowns or fear of puppets, things like this where, again, not discounting that some people might have actual legitimate phobias regarding these things, but there is this idea that you go onto social media and you hear people talking about it, and then you see enough example evidence that is put forth, say, images of creepy clowns, images of creepy puppets, and you just assume it for yourself. You catch the fake fear.
I agree, but I will tell you that the first nightmare I can recall was of a jester, and this is when it began. And it was a jester that became really large and small, like, and then one pill makes you larger, one pill makes you small.
Was this? Are you sure you weren't watching Poltergeist? Because I feel like there's a creepy jester puppet in Poltergeist.
No, Poltergeist was not even in existence.
Oh.
So anyway. The point is that these are, you know, these are kind of like these tropes that are just in our brains, and we work on such a subconscious level. And we talk about this all the time, these subconscious things that are going on that then serve up these revelations.
And we all want to belong to a group, right? We want to be a part of a tribe, a part of various tribes. And hey, here's this tribe, and the only entry fee is to admit that that you're afraid of the lotus.
Right.
Yeah.
And pancakes. All right. We're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to talk about the more classic phobias, the types, the examples. And we're talking about who suffers the most from phobias.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
All right, we're back. We're talking about trypophobia, the fear of holes, but we're also discussing just phobias in general, the nature of phobias and the difference between a phobia and a fear.
Yeah, according to the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, there are three types of phobias. And the first type is social phobia, which apparently afflicts 15 million people in the U.S. And what we're talking about really are social anxiety disorders. So the fear of public speaking, fear of using a public restroom with others or eating with others, or just in more general cases, being with others, because there's that anxiety of, oh, I'll make some sort of misstep, or, you know, I'm experiencing this panic because I feel like there's this social element that I can't handle. And sometimes it can be an actual precursor for agoraphobia.
Okay, and agoraphobia, of course, is the intense anxiety in public places where an escape might be difficult. So a crowded room, a party in which there's only one exit and you have to go all the way through the party again to make it out. Situations like that. I mean, there are various takes on this you can easily imagine.
Yeah, and a lot of people think, oh, it's just a fear of open spaces, but that's not it. It's the fear that you will have a panic attack and people will see you and you won't be able to get help in time, or, you know, this full-blown meltdown is going to happen
right
in the middle of this very public space. And agoraphobia affects twice as many women as men. And if left untreated in extreme cases, it means that that person is going to become housebound.
And then there are specific phobias. This is where we have an irrational fear of specific objects or situations. So, this is where we see, for instance, of course, fear of spiders, arachnophobia.
Yeah.
It's a good prime example of this. It's a very specific thing, and you have an intense anxiety related to it.
Yeah, and fear of injections, such as people who faint at the sight of blood or a needle. Fear of flying is another big one.
Now, we mentioned the stats already. Proportionally, who suffers, how many people, 19 million Americans suffer from phobias, but let's break that down a little more. Who specifically? Who are the prime candidates for phobias out there in a population?
Well, alcoholics,
yes,
it turns out, can be up to 10 times more likely to suffer from a phobia than those who are not alcoholics. And phobic individuals can be twice as likely to be addicted to alcohol as those who have never been phobic. So you look at it, and at first it's kind of like a... is the dog wagging the tail?
Yeah, that's what instantly comes to mind. It's like, are they Is this individual afraid of intense social situations, so they drink, or is it, which comes first?
Well, I was thinking about it in context of this statistic, because according to a 2007 Anxiety and Depression Association of America study, up to 36% of social phobia sufferers wait 10 years or more to seek professional help. And I thought, what do people do when they're not actively seeking professional help? They tend to self-medicate.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that's a good sort of place to start when you look at alcoholism and phobias, because what helps, at least in the short term, is this sedative effect of alcohol. The problem with it, of course, is that you have the ill effects of alcohol use, which actually compound your feelings of anxiety and lead to that person seeking the alcohol again to try to quiet the mind or escape from those feelings of anxiety, which then, of course, leads to routine, which leads to addiction.
And the spider in the room just gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, another take on this is that we have a genetic predisposition for certain phobias, that it's passed down from parent to child and on and on.
Yeah, because it turns out that immediate family members of people with phobias are about 3 times more likely to have a phobia than those without a family history. Now, some of that could be learned behavior.
Right. The mom is always acting afraid of dogs, and therefore she passes this fear on to the child.
Exactly. But if you look at the animal world, you might kind of look at this idea of it being genetically predisposed within the individual. So there's a 2013 study by Brian Diaz from the Department of Psychiatry at Emory University, and that was published in Nature Neuroscience. And what they did is they had researchers train mice to fear the smell of cherry blossom using electric shocks before allowing them to breed. Now, the offspring showed fearful responses to the odor of cherry blossom compared to a neutral odor, despite never having encountered a cherry blossom before. That in and of itself is interesting. But the following generation also showed the same behavior, and this effect continued even if the mice had been fathered through artificial insemination, and the brains of the trained mice and their offspring also showed structural changes in areas of odor detection. So Professor Marcus Pembrey, who is a pediatric geneticist at University College London, said that the work provided, quote, compelling evidence for the biological transmission of memory. He said, quote, it addresses constitutional fearfulness that is highly relevant to phobias, anxiety, and post-traumatic stress disorders, plus the controversial subject of transmission of the memory of ancestral experience down the generations. So there's enough there, I think, that you can sort of say, okay, maybe there's something going on, but those are rats. What about humans? Is there an example?
Well, this brings us back to spiders. I mentioned before that only 0.1% of the 35,000 different kinds of spiders in the world are poisonous, but enough of them are a problem, right? That it only takes one encounter with a black widow to teach an organism a lesson. So evolutionary biologists have long wondered if our fear of spiders and snakes is hardwired. So in 2001, a Swedish study actually made a case for an inborn spider aversion through an experiment involving flashcards of fearful and non-fearful images. According to the study, a statistically significant number of subjects identified the pictures of spiders and snakes more swiftly than they did pictures of flowers and the like. Subjects who claimed to suffer from arachnophobia identified the spiders even faster. So, again, the idea is that there are dangerous organisms out there in the world that we have over time learned to avoid. We end up with it hardwired in our genetics, and therefore we encounter a snake, we encounter a spider, it's going to give us pause because we're going to need to identify them. And then there's going to be an innate fear of the more poisonous varieties.
You know, we had a whole episode on epigenetics as well that looked at generations who withstood some very difficult physical and emotional traumas, and then later on the following generations had essentially the genes switched on for different diseases. And so you look at that, and then you look at these two different cases, and you can sort of see how this could nest itself within the DNA of organisms.
And speaking of generational abuse, when we come back, we're going to touch on another potential cause here of phobias, and that relates to child abuse.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Willemien Langlin, a trauma researcher at the University of Amsterdam and author of a 2004 study on phobias and alcohol, found that childhood abuse, we're talking about sexual, physical, or both, could play a role in the later development of what he calls coexisting psychopathologies among alcoholics. So in other words, phobias could develop if you've had these types of abuse as a child, and they kind of go hand in hand. And they collected data on 155 people who were described as alcoholics, 122 men and 33 women, and they were all applying for treatment in a center for substance use disorders. So all that data that they collected was to assess to what degree they have phobias or disorders. And what they found was that alcoholic patients who reported childhood abuse, again, sexual and physical, also reported social phobia, agoraphobia, and PTSD more often than patients with no history of abuse. And it recast this idea again of addiction and alcohol use. We tend to look at an alcoholic as just someone who doesn't have any control over their willpower, when in fact you have these underlying conditions that aren't always treated, or the root cause isn't always looked at in terms of, like, how can we really address what's going on with the individual.
Indeed. So I hope this discussion of phobias, where they come from, how they're passed down, that it it cast phobias in its proper light, not merely as a quirky character trait that you assume or some mild aversion, but something more complex and something deeper and more destructive happening in the human psyche.
Indeed. And I mean, is trypophobia a real phobia? We don't know. We don't have enough data or studies behind it, but we can certainly recognize that some people actually do feel, the sort of sense of disgust or just even like that existential angst of being. And that's why I thought the fear of holes was such an apt metaphor, because at the end of the day, we all sort of have this fear of the hole that is the unknown, the void, death, really, in this idea of walking through a portal into the unbound.
You know, a scene from a film that instantly came to mind when we started putting this topic together is the scene in the classic Flash Gordon film where Flash is hanging out with Timothy Dalton in a treehouse on the treehouse planet, and they have this rite of passage where the men have to stick their arms into one of the holes in this big kind of wooden tree rock type of contraption. Kind of looks like something Fraggles would pop out of. You know, it looks like a prop from Fraggle Rock, kind of. Except there's some sort of horrible, like, wood scorpion inside that may or may not sting your hand with a lethal sting when you put your arm in there.
That was a pretty fantastic scene. Yeah. You showed me it, and I was like, this is great. And then they go sort of traipsing down this giant branch.
Yeah. And the whole film is just a cavalcade of fantastic, cheesy set pieces, all set to Queen. So, if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with that. All right, you guys can find us at the mothership, stufftoblowyourmind.com.
Yep. You will find all the podcast episodes there. You will find videos. You will find blog posts galore. And you'll find links out to the various social media accounts that we maintain.
And if you have thoughts on phobias, please do share them with us. And you can do that by sending us an email to blowthemind@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200,000 for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.